A.J. Greer tied up by Lilligren at the horn. And the Boston Bruins end their three-game losing streak.
Well, this is the third consecutive Celtic victory over the Nets as Pritchard hits the three-pointer.
That's what I'm talking about, yeah. Baby. There we go.
WBUR's Chris Siderick there, also here with us in Studio 2, Fluto Shinzawa, who's a senior writer for The Athletic and tells us things, all things Bruins. Hey there, Fluto.
Hi, Tiziana.
And Jonathan Marshall is here because if you haven't figured it out by now, we're doing a sports roundup. Jonathan is on the line from WMUR. Jonathan, welcome back.
What's going on, guys?
All right, so listen, I have to tell all three of you, I am not getting sick of so much winning. I am not tired
of winning. Spoken like a true Bostonian. I love it.
So, Fluto, we're going to start right in with the Bruins. We'll get to the Celtics in just a minute, but I have this question on my mind, and I'm feeling a bit anxious about it at this point, which is, there's been so much winning, okay? 39-7 is the Bruins head into the All-Star break. Is that, what does history tell us in such a physical sport? Can they sustain? Because the playoffs don't come until, late April? Can they do this?
There has to be injuries, Tiziana. It's just the nature of the sport.
I feel like a tick-tock in the background.
It's going to happen. So that's one of the challenges that every general manager has is, okay, we just have to acknowledge that players are going to get hurt. And the best way to lead to success is to build as much depth as possible so that when these injuries do take place, that they do have bodies there that are capable of performing at a high level. Now, the issue is cost. Every team is capped at $82.5 million in terms of the salary cap. So the trick for any general manager is to accumulate as many players that can play under that salary cap. It's really tricky. The Bruins are probably going to be over the cap. It's a bit of a technicality, but they can apply some of that difference toward their cap next year. But it's all about this year, right?
You're so stressing me out.
That is one of their brightest qualities is that they have depth. They have two excellent goalies. They have two number one defensemen. They have a lot of players on the bench.
Well, I'd love to pick up right there, Fluto, if you don't mind, because I've been dying to ask you the last few times we've done these kind of roundup segments. Linus Ullmark this year has been an unbelievable goalie, but up until this year he was good, but he was not best in the league level. And I'm just wondering, for a guy to make that kind of leap, is that real? Do you know what I mean? Like, how do you jump that much in your game? It's all of a sudden out of nowhere.
Yeah, it's a great question, Chris. Because yes, nobody saw this coming in terms of career history. Projection. Now you thought, okay, this is going to be his second year in Boston. He's going to be more comfortable. He moved in last year during the season. He wasn't happy with his first place in Newton, so he moved midseason to Brookline. He said he's been a lot happier. His gear is better. He's more comfortable. But he did make
Newton in Brookline just exploded. Sorry, go ahead.
He made some technical changes to his game. So I think all these things accumulate. Better performance, better technique, just better fit, better comfort. And then the team in front of him is a lot better this year. So it all adds up. But yeah, this has been a pretty significant jump in performance for Linus, and the Bruins are not complaining about that.
Okay, before I turn back to Jonathan Marshall from WMUR and we start talking about the other winningest thing going on out there right now, which is the Celtics, I have one other question for you, Fluto, and it is about the hitting and the punching and the fighting, which used to seem to be a bigger part of Bruins' identity. Chris and I have talked about this a lot. Last year about this time, we talked with a former defenseman, Sean Thornton, who was an enforcer. Here's a little bit from Sean Thornton.
There used to be, when I played anyways, three reasons why you would fight. First and foremost, to stick up for your teammate. Secondly, to stick up for yourself. Third, which isn't as common anymore, would be to change the momentum of the game.
So what about the Bruins and the hitting and the punching and the fighting? And
Sean's absolutely correct. There are no players like him left in the league. The Bruins and every other team used to carve out one position specifically for players like Sean. And he would probably take offense to this, but his primary job was to fight.
No, he's admitted that straight up to us when we talked to him.
There are other parts of his game that did make him a critical player. But that was one player on 31 teams that this was their job to fight. Those players are out. It's all about speed, skill. Physicality is still there, but those types of players are just not there. So, and then you look at young players coming up, they have no experience in terms of fighting. So yeah, that part has completely dropped off the cliff. There are occasional fights. But yeah, fighting is out.
Okay, so I'm going to turn to you, John, now, because this idea that the game has changed, right, what you want from a player has changed, gives me a chance to bring in the Celtics here, because there's a lot of threes going on. This Celtics team seems to rely really heavily on hitting three-pointers to win. Last night there were what, Chris? Eight straight threes?
Yeah.
So we got the Celtics winning again. They're smoking hot, but they have to hit threes to win. Am I right about that, John?
Yeah, I mean, That's a huge component to their offense. But I will say, having two wing guys in Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum who can break a defense down. And I don't worry so much about Jaylen Brown, more so Jason Tatum. And that's been my concern over the past couple years. And I've seen a sort of a switch, I would say, this year for Tatum, and that when he's locked in and very aggressive and looking to get his offense going, if his shot's not going, I think he's more prone to attack the basket now and use his size and use his skills and his athleticism. So I think if Tatum and Brown continue to have that aggressive mindset and don't fall in love with the three-pointer, I think they'll be okay.
I think, John, you're so right there that in the past we've seen him kind of disengage a little bit when the shot's not falling, and that's not does not seem to be the case anymore. But I just want to take a minute and revel in the success that was last night, and just let's give folks a little bit of a sample of what that sounded like.
Jason, three. What are we watching?
Okay,
here?
Three.
5 for 5, shooting threes. Tatum from the corner this time.
Oh, man. Tatum, it looks like he's out there practicing.
Yes, he does. Pull up.
Wow.
You're going to get a chance to score here soon.
I love it.
Mike Gorman said even Brian Scalabrine's going to get a shot to score there. We've been talking about the Celtics' biggest opponent is themselves, right? Like, they just need to kind of keep doing what they do. When they are hitting on all cylinders, I don't think there's a team in this league that can stop them, and that's what you saw a little bit of last night. They just made it look so easy, so smooth, so fluid, and just kind of showed you the kind of scoring power that they have and the depth on this team.
Which raises the other question that I was curious to ask both of you about, and John, I'll turn to you first on this, which is this idea of maturity. I remember so clearly a year ago, maybe right around this time, there was a lot of question about, are these players, we know they're talented enough, are they mature enough? And the thought was they weren't, but the coaching was. So now we have this very different situation on our hands this year, which is we have a young replacement coach in Joe Mazzulla, and we have these players that I feel like everybody's talking about with a kind of confidence. So what's changed? Have they just grown up in the spotlight, John, or is it a different coach? Am I making things up and it's neither of the above?
No, I think the maturation process, right? And we've talked about it before, this, especially the group of Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, and Jason Tatum, they're still pretty young, right? They're not even in their 30s, but they've been through these playoff battles over the years. They've been through, especially in the NBA, you can see when it comes to certain teams and stars, there are stages that you have to reach, right? You'll lose in early rounds. You'll make the Eastern Conference Finals. You'll stumble along the way. Then you reach the finals, and then there's that one extra hump you have to get over. So there's stages that these guys have been through already. And we've seen the coaching situation this year from Ime Udoka to Joe Mazzulla, the way that they've been able to handle that. The locker room issues last year and just having internal meetings and trying to figure things out. I think last year's turnaround and to make it to the finals, I think that did a lot when it comes to their growth and their maturation process. So I think the natural step right now, when you hear the conversation about this team, it's finals or bust. There's no excuse right now. And that's just the expectation of having that experience and growing mentally and just growing as a team and having that chemistry at this point.
So Chris Sidorek, pick it back up there from Jonathan Marshall.
Yeah, I think he hit it right on the head, especially at the end. That run last year to get so close to winning a title and then to fail, you kind of could see it in the team's leaders, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, in the offseason. They just got to work, right? And that's everything from conditioning to shooting practice. Every little piece of footage we saw of them kind of working out looked like they were seriously getting down to business. And I think that is a function of getting so close, tasting it, but not walking away with it, right? And so that hunger, fueling that hunger of we're going back and we're getting that because that championship is ours. I think that's what you're seeing here, and that's what it takes to kind of take teams to that next level.
Okay, so I want to bring Fluto Shinzawa of The Athletic back in here for a second before we go to the question of the retirement, which we'll get to in a second. But before we do, Fluto, you talked with the Bruins about the strength of the bench, right? And I have been struck with the strength of the Celtics bench as well. And I want to ask, you know, sort of rapid fire, all three of you, is that why these teams are they were good last year, but is that why they're magnificent in a different way? Fluto for the Bruins?
Yeah, I think so, Tiziana. Just because, okay, Linus Allmark, he needs a night off. Jeremy Swayman comes right in. He's been terrific. He had some peaks and valleys earlier, but he's been really consistent back to his game. So that's their in goal. On defense, they have a regular NHL defenseman, Mike Riley, buried in the minors right now, just because, okay, there's some cap issues there, but he is not as good.
Embarrassment of riches.
He is not as good as the six players who they have in front of him. One young guy, Jakub Zboril, he's played one game in probably the last 30 games just because he can't get in. Same thing up front. They've been without Jake DeBrusk for about a month here. They've been fine. So, yeah, that's just such a luxury for a coach to have so many options because, okay, let's face it, you're David Pastrnak isn't going to be scoring three goals every game, but when he's not, they can roll out Pavel Zacha, Taylor Hall, Charlie Coyle, and they're just fine.
All right, 30 seconds on this to you, Jonathan Marshall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the Celtics have depth at the most important position. That's at the point guard position. Marcus Smart has been out, right? So when you can lean on, hey, Malcolm Brogdon, who has been a starter throughout his career, he's coming off their bench, and also a Derek White as well. So they have multiple ball handlers and creators, which is so huge in the NBA. So they have the luxury of a Marcus Smart, Brogdon, Derek White, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. These are like a handful of guys who can just take it, attack, and create for others. That's a luxury that not many teams in the NBA have. So they have depth, but they have depth at the right position.
All right.
It's part of human nature. You ask a little less of us, right? You're able to kind of meet the moment even better. You're able to rise to the occasion. I think that's what you're seeing.
Okay, I mean, we got like 3 minutes, so we got to talk about Tom Brady retiring. And Chris, I'm going to turn to you on this because there's a little dribble of some news coming out of CNN about Robert Kraft.
Yeah, so Robert Kraft was on CNN this morning saying basically he's going to do everything in his power.
Owner of the New England Patriots.
Yes, of course. Sorry, I assume everybody is up on that. Yeah, he's going to do everything in his power to get Tom Brady to sign a one-day contract and retire as a Patriot. I really do hope that this comes to fruition because I think one thing that we missed in the Tom Brady era was a chance to basically celebrate just an unprecedented career level of success. Because when he came back to Gillette last year, or 2021, excuse me, there was the unspoken tension of we want to celebrate you, but you're coming in with another team. I mean, listen to what it sounded like on NBC Sunday Night Football.
Here comes Mr. Robert Kraft, owner of the Patriots. A lot of history between these two right here.
A lot of success, great success between those two. But it's interesting how Mr. Kraft is sitting here talking to the quarterback who's going to try to dismantle his team later on this evening.
And I was in the stadium covering this game for the station, and there was this tension of, yay, you're back, we love you, but also we want to beat you, right? So to have his moment where we can really just truly celebrate the unprecedented success would be, I think, great for everyone.
Okay, so Jonathan Marshall, I'm a WMUR. I'm going to put a target on my back here. So I'm going to say I get the hoopla. I think I believe him that he's really retiring. I think it's beautiful that he has a chance potentially to retire as a Patriot. But do I have to like him? Because I'm not sure I like the guy very much. But I'm also not sure that really matters.
I noticed you asked the Philadelphia guy this question.
I did. Yeah, not you, Chris.
I mean, I have no issue with Brady. You know, one of my favorite Brady moments. Look, Chris, I told you I wouldn't bring it up, so I'm just leave it alone. I'll leave it alone. But look, everything that Brady was able to do as a New England Patriot, I mean, he did some great things, right? And so I think there's a certain level of appreciation, even all throughout this season when it comes to talking about the Patriots. What was the question? Is it Belichick or was it Brady, right? And so that right there just shows you the level of greatness and just all that he was able to achieve during his time. And so, I mean, you kind of, you may not have to like him, but there has to be a respect and appreciation level there, I would say.
So, Fluto Shinzawa, I'm going to give you 10 seconds on this. You're so hockey. Do you care? Is this one that transcends?
I think, Tiziana, what's always been interesting is that you look at some of the best hockey players, Zdeno Chara, Patrice Bergeron, Tuukka Rask, who have accomplished great things, and they all looked up to Tom Brady and said, whoa, this guy's won six titles, this, that. He's so competitive. He's so good. He's such at the top of his game. So that was really interesting to see elite athletes looking up at a player like Tom Brady.
Nice. And on that note, Fluto Shinzawa of The Athletic, Jonathan Marshall of WMUR, Chris Siderick of WBUR. Really fun to wrap up the sports. Lots more to watch for. Thanks to all three of you.
Always a blast.
Thank you.